Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Welcome, ya Mustafa. Welcome.
Ghar se dola chala ladni ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka? Ghar se dola chala ladni ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka? Kitne nazo se pala tha humne, har tarah se sambhala tha humne.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Wednesday morning. It's spring, my beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM. Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal in company. We welcome you into the show. And of course, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'a. Well, my engineer, none other than Brother Bonface, we welcome him into the show. Remember, it is a beautiful Wednesday morning. 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and of course, Sirius FM listeners. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning. We welcome you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Let's start with Roshni, Ustad. Honorable dear Mufti Sahab, what would you do if your parents do not approve of your choice for a spouse? From Roshni Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Islam, we would always advise the children, the sons, daughters, grandchildren, that they should always consult their beloved parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So we must be obedient to our parents and try and take their blessings. We only have one set of parents, and remember that. Therefore, in Islam, it is so important and of paramount importance that we consult them. Now let's break it down and see. Number one, for the daughter, she cannot get married without the consent of the father, the biological father we are speaking about, not adopted father and foster father and stepfather. The biological father is Muslim, he must give permission. And if he does not give permission, the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nikaha illa bi wali, that the nikah is not valid without the permission of the guardian. And that is the fatwa according to all four schools. The Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali say the nikah is null and void. The fatwa of the Hanafi school is this, that when a lady is aqila, baligha, sane and mature, and if she takes the permission of her father, gets married, that's fine. If she gets married bighayri ithni al-wali, without the permission of her father and her family, for example, then in a case like that, we will see and we will now analyze the situation. Did she get married in kuf, someone suitable, compatible to her? If she married someone not compatible, suitable to her, the nikah is null and void. That's the Hanafi fatwa. And remember, if she got married to someone who is suitable, compatible, the nikah is done but still discouraged. And if you want details of this, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, we met him personally, Alhamdulillah, one of the greatest scholars Indo-Pak the subcontinent produced. In his fatwa kitab, Imdadul Muftin, you will find it there. So remember that regarding how I mentioned it, and all the references are written there as well. So therefore we say it's of paramount importance. If it is the son, then remember, take the blessings of your parents and so forth and get married. But if they are not happy and you got married, your marriage will be valid, but we will not encourage that. Now here one more point I need to elaborate on. Let's say a person comes and he proposes for your daughter, and the boy is good, he belongs to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, his character is up to date, his income is good and so forth, but maybe he doesn't speak the same jat, the same tal, you know, the same language like you. The boy is a Maimon, the girl is a Surti. The girl is a Maimon and the boy is Urdu, or the girl is Urdu and the boy is Malay. You have all these things going on nowadays and so forth. So only because of that the father says, no, I won't allow my daughter to get married. So now the question arises, is he justified in that? That is the question. No, he's not justified in that. So in a case like that, you should go to your grandfather, your dada, pa, sapa, opa, your paternal grandfather, or you go to your chacha, your kaka, your father's brother, or you go to your own brother. I don't mean a small youngster now, 10, 12 years old. I mean somebody who's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. And then in that way there, if he gives permission, then the nikah is valid. To you, the father, mother, remember the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Mishkat Sharif. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. When someone proposes for your daughter, or your niece, or your sister, or your granddaughter, and his deen is correct, meaning he's a Muslim, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not a Qadiani, not a Shia, and not a person who has corrupted beliefs like a Aga Khanis or someone like that, and his character is good, فَزَوِّجُوا, then get your daughter married to him. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ, if you do not do so, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيثٌ, then you will find there will be mayhem, chaos on this earth. How many examples we know of? Obviously, it will be much more, that the boy and the girl eloped, they ran away, they asked the parents and so forth, and then they came back, they were pregnant and so forth. So because of the pride and the arrogance of the parents, that no, 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 and all. But now the reputation is already in tatters and so forth. Yesterday, just yesterday, I have Quran in front of my hand. From Cape Town, somebody phoned me, one of my students. Mm-hmm. He said, what must we do? Young girls are getting pregnant here and so forth and so on. So you tell us, what must we do in such situation? So many a time, remember, they just elope because we gave them so much freedom, so much money and so forth. Whole day they busy with the TV, with the videos, with the cell phones, with the pornography. What they see, they want to experiment and try. And South Africa is facing a terrible crisis in the schools and so forth. We must be having one of the highest teenage pregnancies. Obviously, all these children here that will be born are bees. So remember, illegitimate children. So there's nothing to do with nikah and all. It is all, you know, they're just for fun and games, the entertainment, they do these things here. So all this stems from that taqwa, piety, that fear of Allah, love for Allah, respect for Allah is gone out. So that is the meaning of a secular system. So you parents also need to play your role, and you children also need to play your role, and then you will build a dynamic society. Otherwise, it will become a dysfunctional family, and all parties will be cursed. Allah Jalla Wala protect us and our progeny.
Sister from Swaziland, Ustad, she says that she is not used to this life. But what is your take? Do you support the idea of utilizing babysitters and maids? We've got a babysitter for our baby, and we've got maids. We've got about 2, 3, 4 maids. She says she's not used to this, and all of them are young. Ustad from Swaziland.
Remember, sister, I don't know from where you are. You may be from South Africa. You may be from Swaziland. And you married into a very, very rich family.
Lodium Ustad.
So you are from Lodium and in South Africa. And then you got married across the border, Swaziland. So you are sitting there in Baban or Manzini or where have you. And there your husband is a person who we will say is very, very rich. So he is telling you, what's your problem now? So you got one child, you got two children, so here's one maid, and then we got another one for the washing, we got another one for the cooking, we got another one for the garden, we got another one for this and all that. And all are young. So I know I've been to Swaziland seven, eight times, I can't remember also. So anyway, you must remember, so that's a very, very dangerous situation. Because you must remember that many a time, I'm not passing judgment on anybody, but remember, I'm speaking general, when we bring so many maids in our homes, so many a time the wife can be sleeping, the wife can be in the bathroom, the wife can be gone out, and now the husband is left with those maids and so forth. And you know, money speaks all languages, so many things can happen and so forth and so on. So what is the solution? So when your husband, you see, today is Wednesday, sister, and this hadith is acceptable hadith. If you want to go into hadith technology, hadith terminology and so forth, the hadith terminology grades this hadith, evaluates this hadith, a hadith, a hasan, a good hadith. And remember, it is mentioned by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in Al-Adabul Mufrad, that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah states, Habibuna rahmatullil alameen sallallahu alayhi sallam, during the battle of the Khandaq, second year was Badr, third year was Uhud, and fourth year was Khandaq, the trench. So you must remember that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua on Wednesday afternoon after Zuhur, and the duas were accepted. So the Rawi, the reporter, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala who states, whenever I encountered difficulty, I used to make special dua on a Wednesday afternoon, and my duas were accepted. So you, sister, today after Zuhur Salat, read 2 rakat extra, go into Sajda, raise your hand, speak to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and speak to Allah with firm, full conviction. Our beloved Allah will accept the dua. Idha sa'altumullah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. When you speak to Allah and beg of Allah, you yourself must have the firm conviction. Our beloved Allah will accept our duas and so forth. Now we need to look for a solution. I can't just tell you make dua and no solution. So when your husband is, we call Mokai Shanasi, you must see that your husband must be in a good mood. You are alone with him. No children, no maids, nobody there. So in a case like that, discuss the situation. Tell him, hubby, see here, that you are his wife, and you only need one maid, for example. So in a case like that, that what he should do, buy all the gadgets that you need. You need a washing machine, you need a tumble dryer, you need a micro, you need this, you need that. You women know better than me all these things you need. So whatever you need, buy that. And there's others here, we don't need them, and it's harmful for us here as well. So in that way there, you can solve the problem very, very easily. That will be my mashura and advice to you.
I see the sister says she's from Manzini, Ustad. When is Mufti Sahab visiting us? And she says, dear Mufti Sahab, that's the main problem. When you go for shopping, he puts the maid in front and I sit at the back. That's not right. I feel like addressing my family this issue. Should I or not to start?
First, you have to speak to him. Don't bring the whole family in. In Islam, whenever there's a problem, husband, wife, leave everybody out. Leave your parents out. Leave the Maulanas out. Leave everybody. You, husband, wife, try and solve the problem. If then it cannot be solved, then you bring your family in. Still it cannot be solved, then you bring the Maulanas and the Muftis and the Jamiats and whoever else you want to bring in. That is the sequence you should follow.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, what does a girl do when her man can't read between the lines? This is from Mayfair West. It says, age may be nothing but a number, but it does play a role, dear Honorable Mufti Sahab. I'm 25, my husband is 46, Ustad.
So, sister, when you got married, let us be honest about this. I sit here as an independent observer. I listen to what you say. I don't even know who's asking the question. But let us be fair to all parties. When he married you 4 years ago, 5 years ago, so you were 20 years old, he was 40, 41, 42 years. So when you married, you knew he is double your age. Now, bichara, the guy is tired and retired. Now he's gone 6:30 and so forth, you must remember. So he can't now, you know, do what you expect him to do and so forth. But who do you blame? I'll blame him, but I'll blame you also. So you must remember that. See, anything you want, you will find in the Quran Sharif, Uruban Atraba. So just analyze the word Atraba. You see, in Arabic, Turab. So Atrab is the plural. So you played in the sand at the same time. You played in your mother's house, he played in his mother's and father's house. So when you get married, we speak of compatibility. We're not speaking of what is jaiz. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha was 40 years old, and Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25 years old, to show it is permissible, 100%. And then when Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable wife Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha passed away, she was 65 years old, and Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 51 years old. So it shows that, and there were 6 children from this marriage, all part of the Ahlul Bayt and so forth. Then on the other side, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was very, very young, to show that is jaiz, to set the precedent for humanity. But what is desirable? What is the best? So you want to be on the same level, you want to have the same outlook in life, the same taste, and so forth. So sister, you need to now speak to your husband that maybe a lot of dates, maybe a lot of other things, you understand, that are permissible, not haram things. So in that way there, and that will enhance his performance and so forth. So you must remember, but you are definitely partially to be blamed, because when he came to you when he was 40 years old, he came with the Porsche, he came with the Merc, he came with the BMW, be my wife. You said, I to boharu lage. So that is where all our problems come. We look at the mal and we look at the jamal. We look at the wealth and we look at the handsomeness or the beauty. And that doesn't last. Afterwards, it just fades away. And now we sit with the problem. So think properly, my sister.
Sister says, Jazakumullah for the advice, Ustad. That's exactly what's happening. When he came in, I accepted him because of his wealth, and today I'm to be blamed. But dear Mufti Sahab, we don't have that spark when it comes to intimacy, Anonymous Ustad.
Yes, you will have a lot of spark, inshallah. You give him a lot of dates and raisins and zamzam water. Then inshallah, he'll be firing on all cylinders, inshallah, and read ya wadudu, inshallah.
I see Heidelberg Ustad listening to you. They say, dear Mufti Sahab, you know me and I know you. Do you believe that both the husband and wife should help in cooking? Do you help Papa Fatima Ustad?
So if I help her, you must remember half the things will burn. So you must remember this type of things here. Well, I help her in what? In picking up the dishes, taking the dishes.
Allah.
I give her a lot. I tell her my name is Muhabbat Ali, my name is Ihsan Ali, my name is Khidmat Ali. So I got a lot of names, you understand? So when I pick up all the tray, like this morning, breakfast time, so I told her, anything else I must pick up? She said, no. Okay, I said, Khidmat Ali is going now. So then she wants something, then I bring for her. I tell her, okay, Ihsan Ali brought it now. Anything else you want, like that. So husband, wife, they must be partnership. You have to help one another. That's what our man, the husband, Heidelberg, everybody knows me. So you must remember, I'm a son of the soil there. You must hate Heidelberg. You know Heidelberg, Molana?
No, sir.
Heidel is the flower and Berg is the hills. So when you enter Heidelberg, you will see all the small, small mountains and you will see the flowers there. It's Afrikaans name. And when I went to Germany, also there's Heidelberg there as well. So when they ask me, where you come? I say, from from Heidelberg. They get wonder, but this guy don't look like a German. You understand? So then I tell them, no, we got Heidelberg there in South Africa as well. Anyway, cut long story short, they must be. This is a big, big mistake the husbands make. You must remember, Islam made you the Amir, the husband. There's no question about that. Quran states that. So Surah 2, verse 228 and so forth. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. There are so many verses, but we must go back to the hadith for the elaboration. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. Who will be the leader? The leader will be the Khadim. He must do the most. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to all Mighty Allah Jalla wa Ala in the entire universe. He the master alayhi salatu salam to show this ummah that how you must lead. So he told the ummah, you read 5 salat. But he the master, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performed 6 salat, tahajjud. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, ordinary mortal sinners, we weak, we sinners, we transgressors, you fast Ramadan. But he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 13, 14, 15 of the Islamic lunar month used to fast. Monday, Thursday used to fast. For me and you, zakat 2.5%. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day paying zakat. Every day paying meaning, there was not a night must pass and a piece of gold or silver must be left in the house. So it must be given away. So to poor Muslims. So the lesson we learn that you are the Amir. So you have added responsibilities. But today's Muslim man, Indian, Arab, whoever, so they understood Amir to be Amir, to be the dictator. Do this, do this, do this, do this. So that is totally wrong. It's alien to what Islam is teaching. That is why the marriages also suffer and the wife also suffer. Marriage is a partnership, is not a dictatorship.
Mm. Ustad, listen to this message. It just came in right now. It says, hope you are well, dear Mufti Saab. If a person sends a message saying, here is your 3 talaqs via message, is that valid? I listen to your show every day, Mufti Saab. Gee, it is an abusive road. And I think it's best I'm 4.5 months pregnant. Well, I have to be in Iddat, 37 years old, to start.
Remember, sister, if that message came from your husband's phone and your husband admits that he sent it, so you, because today technology, a lot of funny things can happen. Somebody can just take somebody's phone and send a message and so forth. So your husband admits that he sent that message, it's from his phone and so forth, then 100% all 3 talaqs are valid and Allah alone knows what rows and ructions there were between you, husband and wife. Yes, sister, iddat is compulsory and you are pregnant. Allah make easy for you and the baby to come, inshallah. So your iddat will expire when you give birth. So in the interim, what you're going to do is that you read these verses I'm teaching you now. Surah chapter 37, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah, you grant me pious offspring, normal offspring. There will not be challenges and so forth. Jeff, you know Surah Yasin is Surah 36. The next chapter, Surah Safat, verse 100. Rabbi habali minas salihin. Then you must read Surah 3, verse 38. Rabbi habali min ladunka zurriyatan tayyiba. Ya Allah, grant me such offspring that are pure and chaste. Innaka sami'u du'a. Verily, you are the one who listens to the dua, Ya Allah. And remember, Allah, now you can't reconcile and remarry him. He gave you 3 talaq. So Allah alone knows what will happen in future. So, but you keep on reading Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh Allah, grant us such spouses as offspring and children that are the coolness of the eyes. And remember, he must pay for all your expenses that are within the Sharia till you give birth. And for the baby, he must pay right through. All the medical bills, all the eating, drinking expenses, hospital, whatever, he must pay for all that. He don't pay, you take him to court.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Well, it's exactly 28 minutes after 11. There's a question here, Ustad. It says here, we would like to please come and visit dear Mufti Saab. My daddy passed away. In his will, we found out that he has He had three other wives and kids as well. We never met them before. He was always with us. Do they inherit from his will too? Can we come this afternoon, Ustad?
There's no need to come. You must remember that once your father, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, that the first thing you have to make dua, you are the children, grandchildren. Surah 14, verse 41. So remember Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 41. So Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. I don't know when it happened, but I just give a date, right? So your father passed away in the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. We make dua for every Muslim, male, female, adult and child who passed away with Iman. Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. So that's first one. Second one, now we have to sort out the estate of your late dad, your late father. So first will be burial expenses. I think that much you must have done and paid the hearse and for the grave and all those things. Second one is the debts of the deceased, personal debts, corporate business debts, all debt must be paid to the creditors. Justice delayed is justice denied. And third, he may be made wasiya, verbally or in writing, for a person who's not an heir for an organization. If he did that, debt must be implemented, maximum one third of the net estate. Now we come to the nitty gritty, what you are asking. There's no need to come, and I'm too busy, I don't allow people to come here, because you might, if I allow people here, then day and night I'll be busy here, you know. I want, as it is, I've just managed now with all the work we have. So anyway, so this is what you do. Write it down or record what I'm telling you. So mashallah, your father had four wives. Whether you all knew, don't know, now there's water under the bridge. So all four wives, they are Muslim, then they must inherit, right? So how much will they inherit? From the 12.5%. So they will inherit. So it is two wives, six and quarter. So it will just be, you must remember, just under 3% or so each wife will inherit. So the total amount that they will inherit will come to 12.5%, 1/8. So that is for all four wives, not 1/8, 1/8, 1/8. Not 12.5, 12.5. From the 12.5, you divide it by 4, and then every wife will get that, okay? All the children that he left, first wife, second wife, third wife, fourth wife, all of them will inherit, provided that they are Muslim children. Allah forbid nobody became a murtad and left Islam and became an apostate and so forth. So let's say now there are 10 children, 5 sons, 5 daughters. For example, I'm giving, right? You add all the children. So in a case like that, you will say that for the remainder now, 87.5%, it will be divided by 15. Why? For the sons, it will be 2 shares each, and for the daughters, it will be 1 share each. So in that way, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذِلٌ سَيِّنْ. So it's straightforward. So that if he, your father, passed away and he was survived by his parents, I don't know whether his parents are alive or not. So remember, then your dada and dadi, your paternal grandfather and paternal grandmother, if they're alive, your father's parents, then they also will inherit 1/6, 1/6.
Both passed away.
So both passed away, so straightforward. So in a case like this, so it's straightforward, you don't have to come here anything, I'm giving it to you now. All four wives will inherit from that 12.5%. The residue remainder, that you count how many sons they are, you count how many daughters they are, and then you double up for the sons and single for the daughters. So that residue will go to them proportionately, finish. And don't fight and all these kind of things, to keep the peace and unity among yourselves. Whether you like it or not, you have the, so you are akhun li abin, ukhtun li abin, abin. So this is now all big terms and all that. In English, you call that consanguine brothers and consanguine sisters. By the time you finish with that, you'll forget the spelling also. So leave all that down. You say you all are half brothers from the father's side, half sisters from the father's side. So you all are brothers and all are sisters, remember that. So, and you, the wives, remember iddat is compulsory upon you from the day the husband died. So remember that 130 days you must count, 130 days, 130 days. No new clothes, no mehndi, no henna, no jewelry, and you must sit quietly in your house. No gallivanting here and there and all that. So that are the laws that you should know.
Sister says, Jazakumullah khair. She says it's just a bit confusing, but we will do that, Honorable Mufti Sahab. 11 children in total, Ustad. And she says here that first wife, he got married, he divorced the first wife, and then after that, he stayed with four wives, meaning he got married, he got four wives, Ustad.
So when he passed away, the four wives are alive. That one whose divorce is finished now. She's history. Okay. We have to carry on with the geography. And then we got 11 children, we got the soccer team.
Allahu Akbar, 27 minutes to 12 o'clock. I love you, Ustad. Ustad, listen to this one. My wife says, tell Mufti Sahab, when Mulana Arafat washed the dishes this weekend, he was dishwasher Ali.
Khidmat Ali.
Khidmat Ali. Somebody says, yeah, Ustad, somebody just mentioned, says, how can I listen to you, Mufti Sahab, when you swear other ulama? Please wake up. Darul Iman is a two-man show. It's AK and you, Mulana Arafat. You formed this because we fuck don't want you, Mufti Sahab. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
So alhamdulillah, you can think whatever you want to. You must remember this type of things here. So you want to pass judgment and that. You even got your facts wrong. So you must remember that we came here to Markaz Sahaba. It was 2018 and it was, mashallah, during the month of April we started. So it's 3 years and 3 months, 4 months. All hadha min fadli rabbi. And we independent. We don't curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician or any government. So that is number one. Number two is this. You must remember that what happened was senior ulama of the country. That is, you must remember Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Hafizahullah and Mufti Hashim Bauda Ye in the Deer and so forth. They made Mashura and they said we need an organization, and in case there's matters we have to go to court too and so forth and so on. So who will go? So we must remember, we know the other organizations and so forth will not go. We know that. So therefore they came to me, Mufti Hashim came to me and said, Hazrat. So I said, me, I'm on board, 100%. It got nothing to do with Wifaq. It got nothing to do with any other organization. So I don't even love to belong to any organizations. But if Hazrat Mohan Ahmad Sadiq Desai tells me I must be, I'll accept it 100%. You must remember that, because I have full confidence in the man and this type of things. Even if he writes against me, still I will have confidence in him. So you must remember this type of... So it got nothing to do with Wifaq and so forth and so on and so on. So my brother, we don't have to curry favor with anybody. So you made your statements. So let me now speak that why we speak all these type of things. So there are five issues. Maybe we take a break and then we come back and then I will address the five issues, because it'll take a little bit long. So inshallah, I see it's break time. So then we will address the five issues.
I was just going to tell you that to start. Let's go for a break. And I see the brother says, I don't want to listen to you anymore. But anyway, let's go inshallah for an ad break. When we come back, we will chill start.
You don't listen, you listen, you don't do me a favor. You don't listen, go fly a kite. We're not interested. Whether you listen, don't listen, my brother.
Well, it's 22 minutes to 12 o'clock. We're going to go back to that same question. Ustad, inshallah, is going to continue. So let's ask all the listeners of Markaz and, of course, all the listeners of Sirius FM. Listen attentively. Ustad, over to you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The brother, he said that about Darul Iman and so forth and so on. The Quran Sharif is in front of me, so we don't have to make any propaganda and cover up and so forth. Remember, there is a definite split in South Africa amongst ulama. There's no question about that. So people say we cause disunity. This is one big thing they tell me. Yeah, you'll cause disunity and so forth. So I pose five questions. So you be fair and be objective about it. Number one, if ulama, maulana, sheikhs, imam, muftis, whatever you want to call, go to court to close the masajid, when we tell them that is wrong. So you must remember it's against the Quran. You can never ever justify it. So they can say that they were trying to bootleg the government, or the non-Muslims were objecting. All this is water and it means nothing in Islam. So we must follow Quran Sharif. We must follow Sunnah Mubarakah. We must follow the fatwa verdict of Sahaba and the four schools. That is our deen, our Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Quran, I'll just give you the references and the ramifications, consequences. So first issue, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Who can be a bigger zalim, a bigger oppressor, transgressor, tenpot dictator than him? مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Then the person who prevented others from going to the masjid. They took away the Quran Sharifs. Allah forbid, you trying to say the Quran will give virus. People made statements, you go into sajda, we got it on record, that if you make sajda in the masjid, you will get the virus. There's kufr that, remember that. So all this here was done. So what Quran says, Surah 2, verse 114, لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِذْيُ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So we went to court, Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai, the lawyers, everything and so forth, we gave 100% support of it. Our Hafiz Firoz Bouda, senior counsel, Zahir Umar, Abu Bakr, and all our lawyers. So remember Yusuf Dokrat, and all were mashallah helping and assisting. So I am asking you, can you unite with any group of ulama that goes unprecedented in human history? This is, remember. So that's point number one. It's a no-go, 100%. So number two, you must remember, is this, then instead of apologizing to the ummah, second time they go again to court. And who? You must remember those ladies who say that obviously they're going to go according, they're non-Muslims, so they're going to go according to the constitution. So the constitution speaks about gay business, lesbianism, all these type of things. And now they want to recognize the Muslim marriages and so forth. Again, you go as friends of the court. You must be amicus and all that, amicus curiae and so forth. So what business you had to go the first time and second time? That is our point. You must remember that. When you go to change the Sharia and so forth, what are you doing? 100%, you must remember, when you say you're going to go to marriages must be recognized, then the consequences will follow. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work that out. You can't say, no, we just want the recognition and the consequences will not follow. So to change the Sharia, what is that? That you go right out of the fall of Islam to do this type of things here. So don't twist my words. I didn't say they're out of the fall of Islam. I say, but if any person, organization wants to do that, then you're out of the fall of Islam. So Quran Sharif has got Sharia. Sunnah speaks of Sharia. So if anybody, any government, any person does that, so Quran says, وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. So how are you going to have unity? And obviously they will never ever apologize for that and so forth. And if you want the reference of this verse, yeah, I give you the references also. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us that in Surah number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 85. So that's verse chapter number 2. The second issue. The third issue is, see, I'm in media over 20 years. I'm in Fadli Rabbi. It's not always people who will be happy with you or something, because our aim must be to speak the truth, and the truth is better. Watawaso bil haqqi, watawaso bil sabr. So you must invite one another to the truth. Then people will criticize you, castigate. So watawaso bil sabr. Right? You all know the surah. So you must exercise sabr, patience, and continue and invite the people towards the good and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith to Abu Dharr radiallahu an, qulil haqqa walau kana murra. Speak the truth, even though it's bitter. There's no question about it. Shias are 100% kuffar. But all these organizations, you must remember, who went to court in this type of, let me take their names, what is the fast to hide? UQSA, JUSA, MJC, Darul Ihsan, all these people, not one of them is prepared to make a public statement that Shias are kuffar. Now the question arises, why? If somebody swears me, swears my parents, we just keep quiet, we don't worry, you know, carry on in life. So maybe the man is upset, whatever. But I promise you, you start cursing, swearing, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, start swearing Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, start cursing Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, cursing our mother Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Afsa. We'll never keep quiet. We must defend their honor. That will be our means of najat, inshallah, our means of salvation. Now, when you keep quiet, So what are you doing? They call that hikmat. Mm. They say, no, that is wisdom. We don't need that kind of wisdom. That we don't want. You know, that to us is hypocrisy. Remember this type of things here. So that is the third issue. Any person, any organization, that's why our name is Markaz Sahaba. So remember that, that we say, even the name Darul Iman was chosen by Mufti Hashim Bouda and them. Mm. So I just said that fine, because we got media and that, we carry on with it. There's no problem. So we indebted to Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai, to Mufti Hashim Bouda. Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Jamaat, to show our identity, we dead against Shias. They promote mutah, prostitution, and so many, 101 reasons I can give you. So they're non-Muslim. But these same Maulvis, friends of the court, enemies of Islam. So they're not prepared to say that the Shias are kuffar. So how can you unite with them? I'm asking you. So that's third one, right? Fourth one. When South Africa, you know that they were ulama of the past, great, great giants. Every one of them passed the fatwa, TV is haram, and so forth. Where they studied also, Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, rahimahullah, we studied there, is haram. Hazrat Mufti Shafi'i Sahib, haram, all of them. So you remember, Darum Dioban, Mufti Sayyid Palanpuri, I asked him personally, yeah, he's one of the greatest ulama who was living, he passed away now, 1-2 years ago, in Darum Zakaria. I told him, it's not permissible. So the issue of TV came. South Africa got TV, I remember 1976, because that was my first holiday I came home. And the people were gone crazy over it, you know. Pakistan, they had before South Africa. Anyway, now the Maulanas, the Muftis, the Sheikhs, now you halalize, you must remember TV. Something that is haram, Quran says, Surah 24, verse 30, verse 31. And what happens is this, that Quran says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَذُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believing man, they must lower their gazes, protect the private part. Next verse, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَذْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Tell the believing women, they must lower their gazes and they must be the one to protect their private part. Now the woman is speaking there and the men are looking. So show me which Sharia allows that. Mm. The big Maulana is speaking, and some of these Maulanas, naturally, you must remember, they dark in complexion. But when the clips come out, they become very white. You must remember, I don't know how much makeup they put.
Allah.
More than a woman, it looks like. You must remember that. Man ghashana falaysa minna, my brother, is hadith, sahih hadith, in Muslim Sharif. Who deceives us is not of us. If you dark in complexion, why are you playing with the cameras? And then you must see their kurta, their hat, and their watch and pen. They want to, you know, display everything. So top of the pops they want to look like. So you can see yourself. People send me all assistance. When this guy became so fair in complexion? So anyway, you must remember this type of things here. So TV, they legalized it. It's absolutely haram. Any person who knows Islam will tell you, the non-Muslims will tell you, that this TV is just like khamar and maisir, like alcohol and like gambling. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْئِهِمَا. If you say there's benefit, it's 1% benefit. 99% is haram. Music, nudity, homosexuality, alcohol, every vice you can think on is showed there. And you think you're going to go there and speak and change it. How can you use a haram medium? So that's our biggest problem we have. Fifth one, vaccines. Today I was so busy. And subhanAllah, so many people, I don't ask people. People were just sending me things. If you just go to our groups, I sent out so many things about vaccines. And you will see. But all of them, their agenda is to be the puppets of government. You must remember this. That's the biggest problem. The government must be pleased with us. So if the government is pleased, and the government, you know how corrupt they are, by the way. So anyway, that they must be pleased. Never mind, Allah Jalla Wala is displeased. Nabi alayhi salam is displeased. No, we must just keep them. So what good is that, I'm asking you? So you must, I told you, I'm prepared to debate with you on this type of issues in public. Nobody came. How many weeks I'm telling them? So you must remember this. This is not something that is my issue or your issue. This is the Ummah's issue. Don't sell this Ummah out because of you becoming people who want to curry favor with governments or politicians and so forth. So that, my brother, is our story. You like it? Alhamdulillah. You don't like it? So you can lump it. So we don't ask you to like us or something. But one thing we will not do. We will not compromise on the truth. We will not sell the deen and become scholars for dollars. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. Allah Jalla wa'ala give hidayat to one and all.
Allahu Akbar. I see listeners are saying, one from Richards Bay, they must stop closing the house of Allah. The masjid don't belong to mankind. We are with you all the way, Mufti AK. This is from Richards Bay. This one from Alberton says, they disunited the Muslim Ummah. Mufti Sahib is trying to join the Muslim Ummah. People are now seeing that, Ustad.
Remember that people speak of unity. You can never have unity with haq and batil, with truth and falsehood. Unity you only have on haq. Quran has made this very clear. Second one, Ja al-haqu wa zaq al-batil. Second one is this, for unity, there must be tawadu, that humility. When we wrong, we must accept we wrong. They won't accept. They will try and justify their wrong. I also make mistakes. I also commit sins. If I did it publicly, I must apologize. And we did that. And you must, with Allah's help and mercy, if we did wrong privately, then we do. We must make tawbah. And we do that with Allah's help and so forth. So we must not justify. That is exactly what Shaitan did, Lucifer did. And Allah expelled him. Remember these things here. And third one, then you beg Allah that the unity, like Taliban. Let me just come quickly to the Taliban issue also, because people are asking. I want all of you, the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba and of Sirius FM, and there might be listeners of Ansar and so forth and wherever else. So you must remember, today is Wednesday. Behind the scenes, it seems to be quite advanced stage that Pakistan government, Taliban, they are in control of all Afghanistan, you can say, and Americans, they are busy negotiating. So I appeal to you, with duas, a lot of things can happen.
Ameen.
My sister, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, make dua that she can be released very soon, in this week, inshallah, with the help and mercy of Allah. She reunites with the beloved mother, her sister, her children, and so forth and so on. If you know what thing she went through, oh, she's alive, that is a miracle also. What thing she went through. So may all matter. So that's one thing I beg you. Second one, make dua. Taliban are also successful in getting some brothers out, or all of them out from the hellhole there in Gitmo, in Guantanamo Bay. So that also they busy with. And third, make dua that they implement the Islamic Sharia there in Afghanistan. There is a clip, inshallah, I'll send it out in the afternoon. If you only know, physically, Allah gave them $90 billion worth of arms, ammunition, and what. But under the ground, they have one of the greatest reserves of lithium. They have one of the greatest reserves of gold. They have one of the greatest reserves of other things, minerals. So the political analysts and experts say, for 5-10 years, if Afghanistan remains stable, no wars and so forth and so on, they could become one of the richest country in the world.
Allah,
imagine. So much sacrifice they made. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. When you have iman and taqwa, you don't worry about people. You show your dedication to Almighty Allah, to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Islam. We will open the doors of the heavens and the earth. You must remember this. For you. So that's what Allah Ta'ala is doing for them. Remember, more than 200,000 they gave shuhada, men, women and children. But the Americans and NATO and all these characters, they the real super terrorists, remember that, murdering innocent people. Allah humiliated and disgraced them. So that is the dua you should make. One for my sister, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, our sister,
Ameen.
Our brothers in Gitmo, and make dua, inshallah, Allah give them tawfiq to implement Sharia law, and inshallah, that they show the world what a true Islamic Muslim countries. We got too many. Not one is interested in Islam. Not one. Not one Arab country, not one Muslim country. But they can show the world what an Islamic country is. That should be our dua, inshallah.
Ustad, the sisters in Australia, they want to know, is Saudi joining Taliban as well, Ustad? Are they standing with them?
So you must remember, all the Arab countries are, you must remember, under America. Today, I sent to our news team, today, Bahrain, you must remember, sent their ambassador to Israel. So all of them standing in the queue to make Israel and America happy. So all the Arab countries, or 90-80%, a vast majority of them, they will first look at what America's policy is, and then they will say, okay, that is how we will interact, you must remember. They're not independent states, they're clan states, you must remember that. They have to look at what America, the big boss, Uncle Sam, has to say. Then only they will act, you must remember.
Ustad, which mosques are a must-see in Egypt and Turkey? Are we allowed to eat the meat in Egypt, Anonymous Ustad?
Wonderful. If you know the history of Cairo and Egypt, alhamdulillah, I've been there, I don't know how many times, 5-6 times to Egypt. So you must remember, Cairo is known as the city of minarets. Minarets, they say in English, you know. So a must-see masjid there is on the 1st of Ramadan, the 20th year after the Hijrah, at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, they conquered Egypt and Egypt became a Muslim country. So count, 20th year of Hijrah, 1443. So 1400 and how many years? So you must remember, 23 years. So it is a Muslim country. Still Arabic is the language there. Islam is the official religion. So that is, if you work out the calculation, if I did it correctly. Anyway, so you must go to Masjid Amr bin As. So that is the oldest masjid in Africa. 70-80 Sahaba were there. They built it with their own Mubarak hands. They worked out, calculated the direction of the Qibla. Governments came and then they chose. Then a masjid you should visit, I hope is open when you go, Masjid Toulon. We went there also. You will see the shape of it is very, very different and so forth. So a very, very old masjid as well. Then you must go there to masjid. You must remember, Azhar Masjid is very small, but you can go there as well. And opposite Azhar, you will find the masjid called, they call Masjid Hussein and so forth, next to Khan Khalil. The Khan Khalil is a big market, you know. You know they have all that. There the bargaining goes on day and night. So next to that market is a masjid. There is very good, lot of information there as well. In Turkey, mashallah, you must go. You must remember, to the Blue Mosque you should go. You should go to Hagia Sophia. It's a masjid. We thank our Erdogan there for playing that great role. And then you visit Masjid Fatih, you must remember. So these are all the important places you should go to. Just send me a WhatsApp message, 071-888-1184, and just write their places in Egypt, places in Turkey, and then I'll just send it to you. 071-888-1184. While I'm busy with that, we just got time for another 2 minutes or so. That anybody wants to join Darul Iman, the brother, I don't think he wants to join, but anybody else want to join, so you must remember, then you join 084-786-3130. You just send us your name and the place, which country, and your number, phone number or email, and then you member of Darul Iman. There's no other big protocol, and everything is confidential. And remember, brother or sister, anybody can join in, there is no problem. So if there's court cases and so forth, which will happen, then at least we have, you must remember, that these are our people, our members, and so forth and so on. That is the reason for it, basically. So second one is, if you want to get into our groups, my group there, then 071-888-1184. Just say you want to join. Finish, G.
Somebody wants to know, does a wife has a right to go see her parents even if husband doesn't want to? How often? I didn't go for so many years home, Ustad.
So we don't know where you stay and where your parents stay and why your husband is saying no. But just by judging your question, remember if you're saying for 2, 3, 5 years you didn't go. So that's wrong, obviously. So your husband should give you permission and should give you permission for that. But if you are in America, of example I'm giving, or Europe, or wherever, and you are the parents of South Africa, he can't afford it or something, so now how is he going to send you? So in cases like that, you tell your parents they must come and visit you or something like that. So I don't know all the details, but that will be our advice to you. Okay, before the news, let me just read everything out for you, our program from now till the evening. 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock after the news, Sheikh Zahir Mahmood, we carry on with the series regarding Sayyidina Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. 105 to 130 today after the Zohar Azan, Surah Kahf, verses 23 to 26, inshallah al-Aziz. 130 to 2, Surah Yunus, and that will be verses 46, 47. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Air, Mawlana Zaid Khan. 3 to 3.30, the repeat of the morning's Q&A with Mawlana Arafat. 3.30 to 4, Kasrat is a Maut. So remember death abundantly, Mufti Rafi Usmani, one of the senior ulama there in Pakistan. 4 to 5, Ulumul Quran. You know, we started the series on Monday, so listen to it very good by Mufti Yusuf Mangera between 4 and 5. And then 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7.30, the repeat of my tafsir. 7.30 to 8, Mawlana Yunus Patel. Inshallah, Rahimahullah, his advices. 8 to 9, so you must remember that Brother Shafa'at with Dr. Shankara Chetty, and he is a science biologist and will be very interesting, the medical file. 9 after 9 to 9.30 and so forth. So then till 10 o'clock, Mawlana Salim, Mawsalman Kaji, I see they got here. So that is what Brother Shafa'at Ahmed Khan. And 10 to 11 will be Mawlana Ridwan Kaji, inshallah. So that is our program. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidahullah. Well, up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.